Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks a lot. Yes, welcome to all of you for joining us for this presentation of our year-end report. Happy to see many of you here, even though we know there are some kind of competition this morning with a lot of reports being released. Presentation today, as usual, when we present our report, I will start by providing some overall conclusions for this quarter and also some specific comments per business area. Then later on, we'll be joined by Ulf Berghult, our CFO, to guide you through the figures, and then we're summing it up with some Q&A session, then moderated by Douglas. Agenda, highlights, as I said before, then joining some talking a little business areas, financials, and then some summary and outlook, and then Q&A. Highlights continue to have an organic decline in the quarter by 4% on the top on everything, which is driven, let's say, this quarter for the first quarter in a long time, solely by the downturn in our offshore and construction area, then oil and gas, and also some infrastructure segments there, delivering, let's say, fairly bad sales this quarter. But once again, for the first quarter in many quarters, all the other business areas actually delivering at flattish or actually a positive organic growth. So we see a turn there. Even this decline, we have a substantial sales increase in the quarter, of course, driven by structural efforts, acquisitions, and then primarily with the CGS acquisition, which was done earlier this year. Overall, even though this organic decline, we managed to benefit from our good market positions and continued very good cost control. Some FX in the quarter as well, also benefiting us, and of course, acquisitions also creating benefits, and we managed to deliver the best EBIT so far in the fourth quarter for Trelleborg. And we also note that this is the 15th quarter in a row where we managed to increase the EBIT. EBIT margin, somewhat lower than last year, 11.3%, some half a percentage point down a year ago, but it impacted with some of the integration of the acquired entities, creating a push on the margin, and of course, also in an overall comparison, also continued rather depressed agriculture and oil and gas markets. Even though if you look at the EBITA margin, we are kind of flattish year-on-year, also, which you see in the figures, and with Ulf, we'll comment on later. Part of this decline in margin is also coming from a strong focus on cash flow. And we get back to that as well and comment where that has been hitting us, but we're delivering a very, for us, a very strong cash flow, and actually, cash conversion is up at 99%, which is a very, very good cash flow for us, which is also then assisting us in delivering a little bit. And we also note that we continue to do supplementary acquisitions, and in the quarter, we have also two acquisitions, which is then adding, as you say, some substantial sales also on a running basis. So this is kind of the highlights. Also, these acquisitions, we have managed to do the acquisition, conclude acquisition of Svab Vibration, which is substantially improving our position with its anti-vibration solutions for non-automotive applications. And this acquisition was then completed early October. We also managed to do a smallest acquisition in U.S., in California, which is also supplementing us, especially in the aerospace sealing for North America, and adding some technologies, some solutions which we didn't have in our range before, which we then expect also that we will be able to push through sealing solutions and globalize this business a lot better. Also, kind of an important step for us, we launched the sealshops.com, which is the first kind of online complete offering of precision seals. This is, of course, a long-term effort for us, but from a strategic point of view, with this, we are kind of changing and opening up a new market for us within sealing solutions, and we expect this to create substantial sales, not immediately, but if you look in the next few years, we expect this to open up a new market channel for us and offer new sales in towards customers and segments where we're not really pushing before. Also, some other also efforts here after the closing of the quarter, another smallish acquisition, add-on acquisition, Carolina Seals in the Carolinas in U.S., which is then strengthening our offering in a specific segment in sealing, and also from a geographical point of view, strengthening our presence in this part of U.S. Also, at the board meeting yesterday, we decided then to make the first kind of major investment late to the CDS acquisition in their Serbian factory. So this is, let's say, a multi-hundred million Swedish kronas investment that we're going to do here, and this is also a great foundation also for starting to get, let's say, the synergistic benefits out of this acquisition that we've done in CDS, and more information on this will come as it develops. Joining then on going on to the financial highlights for the quarter, already given you structural sales dramatically up, organic down by 4%, solely driven by offshore construction, and currency also benefiting by 3%. And all in all, the earnings here, as you said, already commented on, highest Q4 earning EBIT to date, impacted by some positive Forex, some 20 million Swedish kronas adding there. But we also note, when we look at earnings, we are in integration mode in several businesses, which is then putting some hampering on the profits in the quarter, even though it's difficult really to give you a clear guidance on how much this has impacted, but it's definitely a negative impact coming from this integration focus in several units. Cash flow, as I said before, very strong cash flow, which of course also have been impacting the EBIT. I mean, we have several units here which has been focusing on getting inventories down, and we see that in the cash flow, but of course that also created some underabsorption in some units, which I will comment on later. Cash conversion at 99%, which of course almost too high, but is a very good level for us at this stage, since we are focusing more on cash and focusing on delivering somewhat. Dividend is also proposed here, and going to go up for the AGM here in April. The proposal from the board is 4.25 for this year. Business areas, starting with Coated Systems, strong organic sales, better development for sure all across, but we have to note that this plus 5% is coming from one-off project. But even without this one-off project, we have also positive growth in this area, which is a change from before. Coated Fabrics, as you know, this business is basically two coated fabrics and printing blankets, and both of them is kind of growing, but with a little bit different reasons. Coated Fabrics growing basically everywhere but in Asia, while printing blankets is actually growing due to that they have good growth in Asia. And EBIT going up, as you can see, for these higher sales, but also you know that we have been for quite some time now been initiating the different actions here to create more efficiency, and these measures is also creating benefits, which is then pushing up the margin as well as profit somewhat in the quarter. Industrial Solutions, organic sales flat, but behind this, there is a mixed sales development where we have strong automotive sales. There's a small automotive part of this, which is delivering very strong sales and good profits, while then also in this area, we also have oil and gas exposure, which is pushing us negative in this, where already actions are ongoing to adjust for these lower sales, which we will then see benefits from going forward. Here also we have Europe and North America in total in a slight decline, while Asia continue to develop very well. On total, Ulf will get back to you. We continue to deliver very good growth in Asia and especially in China, and Ulf will comment on that as well. Margin somewhat down. I mean, we say here unfavorable sales mix is basically the downturn in oil and gas, which is pushing down the margin somewhat. But as we are adjusting going forward now, we adjust the cost base in this part of the business which have been hit by oil and gas, we see an improvement going forward. And we also note that Schwab, as I already commented on, is coming in here, being integrated, and will create, let's say, strong strategic benefits for this business. So that is something we expect a lot from going forward, not particularly, maybe not in the next few quarters, but if we look next few years, this will substantially improve the position for a substantial part of Industrial Solutions. Offshore construction dramatically down 27%, which I would say is slightly more than we expected. Little bit weaker sales in especially the infrastructure projects. The marine sector is a little bit down in this area, more than we kind of expected a few quarters ago, and oil and gas is basically in line with our expectations. EBIT margin then is being pushed down. We are still rather satisfied, I should say. We managed to keep this profit in a positive territory, even though we have this dramatic sales drop. And of course, we continue now to adjust the cost base as we expect a continued drop in this area. Our guidance is kind of between 10% and 20%, which we basically have said before, same as before, and that is what we are kind of adjusting for here going forward, which is challenging in parts of the business, but we continue to believe that we're gonna keep, we are confident that we're gonna keep this in a positive EBIT also for the next year, even though we continue to see a substantial drop in this area. There is uncertainty ahead. I mean, order book is up and down here. I mean, I just bonus to say we had a fairly good order intake in Q4 for the oil and gas business, but we don't really expect that to continue. We expect it to be very challenging environment, but once again, we are adjusting our cost base, and we are ready here for any potential uptick or continued downturn. Sealing Solutions, positive organic sales, which of course, very positive. As you know, this is the major contributor to our profit, and we see a slight change here in demand. There is a mixed geographical and market segment development, but overall, especially the general industry, we see some light in the tunnel, where we still have a, let's say, moderate organic sales increase in total, which of course, the difference between geographies, where still Asia, Europe is continuing to Asia and Europe is doing good, while North America still is a little bit in negative territory. And we continue here also to see very strong automotive sales, which is also creating benefits for us. New acquisitions here. As you know, we have made a few acquisitions here in the last year, and we continue to integrate those. And that is also, as we are buying company, which is slightly lower in profit compared to our remaining business, then, of course, this is also somewhat pushing down the margin overall, and we will work on this now in order to get these businesses up to the average profitability of Sealing Solutions. Already commented on the Caustec acquisition in the quarter and also the launch on Seal Shop. Wheel Systems, organic sales zero, but of course, CGS is boosting sales substantially. Continue to see a quite soft markets in agri OE, where we see that Europe is slightly better, if you say still decreasing, but slightly better. But then the overall market is down in North America, and Asia is kind of flattish for OE. But for us, we have substantial growth in North America and Asia, but that is simply because we have fairly small market shares there, and we continue to grow in those markets, and continue to watch this carefully as well, going forward, of course. Agri aftermarket, somewhat better in all areas, so that is a slight. We're not talking any major growth here, but at least we are in growth territory for all of those markets at the moment, and we expect that to continue. Industrial and construction tire, which is the other big part of Wheel Systems, is also kind of flattish, where North America down, but Europe is up. Looking at the profitability here, I mean, we have definitely with Mitas or CGS coming in, we have a bigger seasonality in this due to the kind of different customer mix in Mitas compared to the Trelleborg sales, and the seasonality impact on the profit is increasing with Mitas coming in, which you see here in the quarter. And on top of that, we have also been fairly pushy on making inventory adjustments, which of course created an under absorption in part of the business, which we now expect to get benefits from now going forward. But of course, this is delivering extraordinary cash flow for us, which you can see on the overall cash flow, with a major cash contributor on group level is Wheel Systems. Ribena Sabatec, which is also in a transition mode. I mean, as you know, this business area will disappear in 2017, and then be integrated into Coated Systems Industrial Solutions, and that is kind of impacting also the way we run this business at the moment. It is more exposed to seasonality here as well, compared to the overall business of Trelleborg. And also here, We have had a strong focus on getting working capital down and making sure that we deliver good profit, extraordinary good cash flow generation from this business in the quarter. But this has also created an under absorption in the quarter, which is then pushing down the EBIT temporarily. I mean, you shouldn't see this as the EBIT margin going forward for this business. This will bounce back here in the running quarter and get back to what you have seen before. So with that, I want to leave and then ask Ulf to guide you through the financials before I join you for the summing up. So please, Ulf.
Okay. Thank you, Peter. So I will start on the sales development. As you see here, that we, as Peter mentioned, that we have a big structural growth in quarter with 26%, and then the full year 15%. And it's in the quarter, it's basically or mainly driven by the Mitas or the CGS acquisition in the Wheel Systems, but also then Schwab in Industrial Solution. And then, of course, we have then Ruben and Savatec. And I just want to, we have been quite an active year in total in 2016. We did 7 acquisitions. And as Peter said, if I exclude the project-based business, and will I come back to that later on as well on the when we look at each region, we have a growth of 2%, which is actually, except for Tork Offshore Construction, we have a growth or flattish on all other business areas. This is then the slide showing the growth over the quarters, the last quarters, and this is also then showing the new target that we have said is this 5% growth over business cycle, total growth. And you can see then that we had a strong quarter in quarter three and quarter four. And also then that on the bottom line, you can see then that we have added then the organic growth. And of course, that is hampered by we have had challenging market conditions, both in offshore construction and in the ag segment. And also we have been in previously when low raw material prices has also impacted. And of course, we also been defending our margins, which you will see later on that we have also a flip side of that is that we have a good margin development. This is then the sales per business area. And you can see then that we have an organic growth in Coated System, mainly driven then by a good development in Asia within printing solutions. Printing blankets, and also then some one-off sales and a good development in the U.S. on engineered fabrics. If I take the offshore construction, that's mainly then driven by the business unit offshore, but also, as Peter said, some minor sales or deliveries within the marine segment in the infrastructure segment. TSS has a good growth of 2%, coming basically from automotive, but also good development in general industry in Europe. And also a very good developer in Asia, although from a low base. And Wheels, you can see that's a flattish, but that's coming from that we have slight growth in ag side and or in the aftermarket, and then then we have a negative in the original equipment. Coming over then to the sales development over on a rolling 12-month basis, and you can see then that these are then, as I mentioned, those acquisitions that we've done, we've been quite active in 2016, but also in 15 and 14, and that has been a primary growth vehicle for this development. This is then the sales per region. This is then how we, for the total group, and it is based on the invoicing address. And what we normally do here is that we then exclude the project-related business because that is doesn't reflect the true receiver. And this is then the growth per region then. And if you then start with North America, you can see then we have a minus 6%. That stands for 24% of the group. And that's basically driven, as also Peter mentioned, and within TSS, that we have had a weaker development within TSS on general industry in US, and also then on industrial tires, which is also then coming into the general industry within Wheel Systems. In Western Europe, we have a flattish growth, but to mention that, we have a good growth in TSS, Sealing Solution, on within general industry. If I take the other East Europe, which is not a big part of the group, it's 11%, but still we have a good growth of 6%, basically coming from Sealing Solution and then Industrial Solution and also the Wheel Systems. And in Asia, we have an extraordinary good growth of 19%, although with a smaller share, but still 14% is growing. And we can see that it's across all the business areas that we have a good growth. And particularly China had an extremely good growth. This is the EBIT in absolute terms for fourth quarter. That was the highest EBIT that we had reported. We have a translational impact in the quarter, which is then a favorable plus 22 million SEK. Year to date, we have actually negative minus 44 million SEK. We have an EBIT margin, which is then 11.9, 11.3 versus the 11.9, which is then partially then impacted by it from a seasonality point of view, a weaker quarter. We have an amortization now count kicking in then from the acquisitions that on a full year basis, we have an amortization about 300 million SEK, and that's have a full impact then in the quarter. So if I exclude the amortizations, then we have actually an EBITA on  12.3 versus 12.4. So it's a kind of a flattish in the quarter. And for the full year, we are higher. We are 13.6 versus 13.4. This is then the EBIT per business area. You can see then we have a good growth in Coated Systems with 18% coming down from the volume, but also then the restructuring measures that we have taken, they are kicking in the quarter. Industrial Solutions is mainly then coming from the contribution from the acquisitions. The rest organically is more or less flat. Of course, then the dramatic drop in Offshore Construction has an impact in the profitability, but again, I think it's a great achievement by the business area that they actually managed then to report a black number. Sealing Solutions is a growth of 8%, basically coming down from the better volumes. And then, of course, Wheel Systems, they have a large contribution then from the Mitas part of the CGS acquisition. And if I exclude that, they have a slight growth in spite of that we had closed down the factories extra long during the Christmas time. This is then the 15 quarters that we have reported an improved profit. And then you can also say this is the flip side of having then the negative organic growth that I showed you on the previous slide. We have then a return on sales on the EBIT then on 12.9 versus the 13% for the full year to 2016. This is the P&L statement, and I can comment then on the items affecting comparability, the 391 million for the full year. That is in line what we communicated earlier, that we were slightly lower, but it was in line with the previous communication. We have the interest is then kicking in that we have a higher debt. I will come back to that. And also tax rate is slightly lower, but we still have a guidance of 26%. And then on the line, net profit discontinued operations, so the huge amount then for year to date, 4.3 billion, that it's then related to the disposal of capital gain of Trelleborg Wibe Acoustic. This is earnings per share that you can see then that for the, if I then look on continuous operations, we are up 19%. And if I exclude then the items affecting comparability, we are up 21% to 223. This is then the cash flow. And you can see that we had a very good cash flow in the quarter coming from a better performance. Of course, then the acquisitions is kicking in, so they're making a contribution on EBITDA. Slightly low on CapEx, but CapEx is kind of a flowing between the years, so it's nothing unusual. We are slightly lower than our guidance. And then on the working capital, that is also the flip side of that we are having a kind of extra closing down the factories within Wheel Systems, but also in Rubena Savatech. And the flip side of that is then that we're shrinking the balance sheet and getting out the cash. So that was a very positive contribution of 173 million. So I ended up with a very good cash flow of 1.3 billion, or as Peter said, 99% cash conversion. And then you can see then the cash conversion then coming up to the 99%. And then to be honest, and then to be fair as well, and then of course this is also having some impact on the extra amortization. So if I take away the amortization and look at cash conversions versus EBITA, we are slightly lower than on the 94%. So we have a favorable impact of having done the acquisitions and having a better, more higher cost on amortizations. This is the net debt development. It's of course impacted by then the acquisitions, particularly then the CGS acquisition that we did in quarter two. We have also an unfavorable currency impact in the quarter by close to minus 600 million. On year to date, that's 230 million. And we have a strong balance sheet, we believe, that also then we have long-term financing in place that runs up to 2020. And so we have also, so that is all taken care of. If I then look on our gearing and leverage, gearing is then up to 48%, which is in line with our guidance. The net debt or leverage is 1.4, of course impacted then by the disposal or the capital gain of Wibb Acoustic. If I look then, take away then the items affecting comparability, we're on a 2.7. But if I then do a pro forma calculation, considering that we have owned those companies for a full year, we are down from 2.7 down to 2.5. So the run rate is right now 2.5 on leverage. This is then the return on equity, where we have a target of 12%. And of course, if I then also impacted by, if I look for the group total at the 30.1%, that is impacted by the Wibb Acoustic, the capital gain of Wibb Acoustic. If I look on continuous operation, including items affecting comparability, we're down to 11.5. Again, also impacted by the capital gain, because the base is then increased by the capital gain. So we need then to have a yield on that capital gain as well. So we're down to 11.4. So then coming to the financial guidelines for 2017, although we were slightly lower in capex, we guide them for 1.5 to 1.7 billion in 2017. We own the Capital Markets Day. We also then announced that we were also looking for to be slightly more aggressive on the restructuring costs. So we guide at 350 to 450. We will come back on a quarterly basis then to communicate more thoroughly or more in detail. The underlying tax rate is 26%. And then, as I mentioned, the amortization of then the intangible assets, basically then the what we call a PPA, the purchase price allocation, that is about 300 million on a yearly basis. So Peter. Yep,
thank you. So summing up before Q&A, see the quarter organic decline by 4% on total, driven solely by the development in offshore and construction, and also then partly, of course, this is impacting us also in other areas. But I mean, once again, it's the first quarter in many quarters where we actually have a flattish development in the other parts, and we also see an improvement, especially related to kind of industrial equipment, which of course a major part of Sealing Solutions, but is also impacting the other business areas in various ways. Also looking at this, we have to continue to also look at the continued depressed market in agriculture, get back to that, I guess, in the questions. Overall sales, they were up by 25%, driven by the acquisitions. Continue to work hard on keeping our market position and also making sure that we continue to have very good cost control, which is then pushing up the EBIT to the highest level so far in the fourth quarter. And also, as Ulf commented on and I commented on before, it means that we're 15 quarters in a row now with growing EBIT. EBIT margin somewhat down compared to a year ago, driven by a favorable mix in some areas, but also also integration of the acquired entities. They are not really fully delivering in line with what we expect them to do long term. And also the quarter, as we already commented on a few times, has also been burdened by a very strong focus on cash flow. I mean, this is, in terms of operational cash flow, this is by far the highest cash flow we have generated in a quarter, in an individual quarter. And this, of course, has been created by somewhat lower production, especially within parts of Wheel Systems and also within Ribena Savatech, which has then, of course, created under absorption, of course, but has delivered a very good cash flow for us. Also continue to do what we call supplementary acquisitions, which is then strengthening us in certain areas, which is then adding some 700 million in sales on running 12-month basis. Going forward, I mean, we still feel that there are uncertain market conditions in certain areas, even though we see a slight improvement in one of our core segments, like the industrial equipment in various ways, but we continue to be a little bit very much on the watch, especially for offshore oil and gas, but also agriculture. We are waiting for an uptick. We see some positive sentiments being commented by some of the major players in the industry, but we still expect the kind of the OE market to be kind of flattish, negative this year for us. But we believe that we're going to see some benefits from the aftermarket. But that is kind of we have to wait and see what happens there. Overall, we continue to focus a lot on innovation. We continue to invest in innovation in areas also which is depressed. We have launched several new innovations in the ag sector, and we also have a few very nice innovations also in the oil and gas sector. So we are not only focusing on the booming businesses, but also in the more depressed businesses. We work hard to improve our positions and make sure that we are ready when these markets eventually turn up. Operating excellence is high. We don't talk a lot about this, but we continue to invest in Trelleborg a lot in what we call operational excellence in terms of manufacturing and purchasing. And if we talk about, for instance, training in Trelleborg, we have never invested more in training of our employees, and we have never invested more in this best practice sharing across the group, and we continue to see benefits from this as well, and we will continue to invest in this area. We believe it's a very clever way of investing your money for long-term improvements. Portfolio management is still high on the agenda, even though the major parts of portfolio management has been happening this year when we exited Trelleborg with Acoustic, and also some major, of course, investment moving closer into the ag market and construction equipment market by the investment, especially the investment of CGS. But this is still high on the agenda. We continue to fine-tune our portfolio in all our businesses in order to make sure that we get even better market position going forward. And then last but definitely not least, is, of course, we continue very high focus on integration with a long-term focus on this. We make sure that we position these newly acquired businesses in a way that we will create very long-term benefits of this, which means that individual quarters might be not having the highest focus on the profit in this individual quarter. So our focus is definitely to make sure that we create the platform for this long-term profitable growth which we are aiming for. Finally, then the outlook. I mean, this we are actually changing the outlook, as I think you say. We say now it is slightly improved, and this is coming from that we believe Europe slightly better. We also see that we expect US to be slightly better, especially than in industrial equipment. We don't expect this is coming from much improvement in oil and gas, and we. There's a slight improvement probably in the ag sector, but we don't expect that to be turning here shortly. But overall, we see a change, and we believe that we're going to see a slightly better market overall for Trelleborg looking at the totality. Then, if summing up here, Q&A, and ask Douglas to join us to guide us through this session.
Thank you, Peter. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Hello, my name is Douglas Lindahl. I'm an analyst with Kepler Cheuvreux. I will moderate this Q&A session. We'll start with a few of my questions, then we take some questions in the room, and then we go off to the telephone line. Peter,
yep.
During your 2016 CMD, you changed your financial target from an organic growth focus target to a total growth. I wanted to sort of get your feeling on... Is there any specific sector you would like to make acquisitions within? Do you feel like you have room to acquire growth? And what's your view on this?
No. I mean, we continue, as I said, we are not looking for bigger acquisition, but you will continue to see supplementary acquisitions. I mean, the primary focus for this for us is continue to kind of supplement our positions within Sealing Solutions, which might be some geographically driven, that we want to create a geographical presence somewhere where we don't feel that we are strong enough, or add on some supplementary product lines, which we have been doing this year by adding this SSF that we bought, which is adding some capabilities within, let's say, silicon seals, or this latest acquisition of these Caustec operations in Los Angeles, which is then also adding some technology which we don't really have. So this is the kind of acquisitions that you will see, and potentially similar acquisitions also within Wheel Systems, which is then specifically adding some geographical presence. But we're not looking for any kind of overall strategic add-ons at the moment. We've been very happy this year to do both the CDS acquisitions. We must not forget either the anti-vibration acquisitions done in Industrial Solutions, which is also substantially strengthening our positions in this. So you will continue to see acquisitions, but not really at all on the level which you have seen the last 12 months.
Okay, fair enough. So on raw material prices, I wanted to see, given that these have increased the last few months, they have declined since 2012 roughly, but now these last few months they've come back up again. What does this mean for pricing for your business and, of course, on more importantly, on profitability?
Yeah, I would say that's correct. Raw materials in up. We feel that availability of raw material is still very good in most areas. But of course, this indication, I mean, that is also a takeaway on the market, of course, that we see up in raw materials, which usually means that the demand is up. So that is also kind of something supporting us in overall expectations on the market development. So that is positive. But then in terms of how to manage this, I mean, we still feel that we are market leader in most of our segments. We feel very comfortable that we will be able to manage this uptick in raw materials. And I mean, long term, we said it many times, we actually prefer raw materials increasing than going down, because then we as a premium manufacturer has bigger, let's say, benefits of that from somebody selling simply on low cost. So for us, we feel that increasing raw material is actually positive for us. Then, of course, I mean, we cannot adjust the pricing immediately. We have initiated cost increases already. I think also known in the market that we have increased the pricing, especially in the wheel systems area, but also in other areas, like in printing blankets and some other areas, we've already initiated price increases. Not alone doing that, of course. I mean, all the players in the market is seeing this. So we are not concerned about this. We actually see the increasing raw material pricing as something which is positive for our business, and we like it when we see this coming.
So your competitors are doing the same, and your clients are accepting the price hikes?
Yes. Yeah. Accepting, I shouldn't say. They are still fighting them, but we believe as the cost goes up, I mean, we will see customers also accepting this price increase.
Fair enough. So I guess you commented on the order intake already on the offshore and construction. You said that Q4 was maybe stronger and you didn't expect that to continue. So I guess you still expect negative 10 to 20% for 2017?
Yeah. Now, to elaborate on that, I mean, it's a difficult market. Of course, we see the oil price is kind of stabilizing, and we see the more MMO market as a maintenance modification operations, which is kind of a part of the oil and gas market, that is slowly going up. But that is really not what is boosting the sales. What is going to boost the sales when you do some more major capex in the oil and gas industry, and we do not really see that coming yet. I mean, of course, there is a slightly better sentiment in the oil and gas market, but once again, we don't really see the big projects kicking in. There is a few projects pending out there, and one of them we managed to get in Q4, which is then boosting our order intake in Q4, but once again, there is very few of these orders actually pending, at least for the next, would you say, 6 months or something like that. And then beyond that, we can still speculate there is uptick, but we don't really see this kind of uptick, at least not for the next 6 months.
Okay. I guess when that market sort of turns around and comes back, do you feel like you're in a position to capture that growth, or given that you have slimmed your business quite a lot in order to keep it profitable?
We try to use this. I mean, we commented on that before as well. I mean, our competitors, especially in the oil and gas related markets, is very focused on oil and gas, and most of them also substantially smaller than we are. Even though we are struggling our business, but we can cope with it, and we have other businesses delivering good, which is in supporting cash for us. So we continue actually to invest, we continue to improve our footprint. So we firmly believe that our position will be substantially better when the market actually turns up compared to what it was before. Of course, we could have been cutting costs more than we are doing at the moment if we wanted to, but we would like to position ourselves and continue to invest in this to make sure that we actually use this downturn for, we don't know how long it will last, but we use this downturn actually to improve our position. So we, as I said, comment on before, we continue to invest in innovation. We launched a new thermal insulation, for instance, for subsea oil and gas now. and making some investment in that in Norway in order to position ourselves. And we have similar investments in other areas also to actually improve our offering into this market.
Okay.
To be ready for when it actually turns up.
Yeah. Okay. I guess we'll see if we have any questions in the room.
Thank you, Andreas Bocquelli, Asset Management. I have another question on the oil and gas sector. You know, we've gone through an enormous shock to the entire industry, to the sub-supply industry. What happens during such a shock? We're looking at the oil rigs in the U.S. It seems that they are now adjusting their cost base so they can actually be profitable at 55, 60. So what happens in the sub-supplier base? Are you redesigning products? Are you facing massive pricing pressure to lower your products? Are smaller competitors exiting? What happens in such an enormous shock we've gone through?
All of that we mentioned is happening. I mean, we have some competitors exiting. We are one of our main competitors. I mean, we have a few niches in oil and gas. I mean, subsea buoyancy is the biggest one. I mean, subsea buoys, which is actually creating lifting on equipment with below the sea level. And in that area, we have seen one of our competitors closing down. We believe, I mean, at least they are no longer offering anything in the market, and we'll see what happens. So this kind of things is happening. There is price pressure on commodities, for sure. If there is excess capacity, I mean, if you have kind of more process-oriented manufacturing, of course, there is a lot of price pressure. We are not that exposed to that kind of part of the market. I mean, we are more selling fabricated products for individual projects. There is price pressure, but we don't feel it being really severe, to be honest. So this is something we need to make sure that we position ourselves and make sure that we offer solutions for the application for that really creating value. So for us, it's not really the challenge. Let's put it like the overall challenge is not the price pressure. The overall challenge is actually the volume in the market and how much. Because in order to supply this product, you need a full testing facility. You need to have everything, quality control. So of course, you have an infrastructure that you need to maintain. And we need a certain volume in order to support that infrastructure. But once again, I mean, a lot of things is happening, and of course we're watching the industry. And I mean, once again, I mean, for us, some of our direct competitors in several of these segments is smallish companies. They are solely focused on this, and of course we expect there will be some continued falling out in certain areas.
So you'll probably be stronger when you come out of this. Another question on the ag business, which is now such a huge part of your revenue. Are the cycles in Europe and the US different? Is the European cycle recovery, is that happening faster now? Are we further ahead in that cycle?
This is of course watched by a lot of people, and there is kind of a little bit different views. But if I should try to summarize the views, I guess the US is still slightly more in a downturn, while Europe is slightly better. Last estimate, we talk probably a continued downturn in US between 5% and 10%, and then less than that in Europe. While we have South America has turned up, South Africa is also quite okay. Australia quite okay, even though it is Southern Hemisphere markets is smaller than the Northern Hemisphere markets. We see some improvements in Eastern Europe, for sure. Eastern Europe is a little bit better probably than Western Europe. But once again, if you talk on OE down levels, I mean, we don't know, you can discuss, but you're down a lot since the peak 2013. You're talking about probably some 30, 40, 50% in certain areas down. So, of course, continued downturn here with a few percent is on a substantially lower base, if you understand what I mean. So this is, of course, the downturn here in actual number is a lot less than it was one or 2 years ago. And to balance that, as we already commented, we see growth in the aftermarket basically in all areas, even though it's a lot smaller, and we are of course waiting for the bounce back in the ag and the OE, because I mean this downturn has been happening now three years at least, which is longer than the previous downturns. So we are not that concerned. If I summary, we think the market is improving, even though it's not really bouncing back immediately. Then also to comment on that, to supplement, I think you know it, of course, but I mean everybody else, I mean we are still fairly new in Asia and North America, so our growth in those areas is substantial. I mean talking tens of percent inorganic growth also in the OE, but from a very small base.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Douglas, back to you.
My name is Svante Sekesson. I have one question. It seems like your sales development is increased by acquisitions, and the organic sales has been negative since 2014. What do you think about the possibilities to come back to a positive development for organic sales?
We think we are getting close to that now. I mean, we have been last 12 months at least, we've been exposed. I mean, the majority of the organic decline is coming from oil and gas related businesses, which is down, as I said, in this quarter, down by some close to 30%. So that's, of course, pushing down the overall sales. And I mean, if you look at organic sales in this quarter, it was that's a flattish or slightly positive for all business areas, but the offshore and construction. So, and as offshore construction getting smaller, then of course the part of that, even though it's continuing down as we guided by 10-20%, it will be smaller numbers compared to the others. So we think we're getting close to be able to deliver a positive organic sales again on group level.
Thank you.
Do we have any questions on the telephone line, operator?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question for the speakers, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. We have a question from Daniel Schmidt from SEB. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, hello, Peter. Do you hear me?
Yes. Hey, you're good.
Okay. I just wonder, I think you've tried to touch upon it during your presentation, but you said that, for instance, the margins that we saw in Rubena Savatech in Q4 is not representative of the sort of run rate of the business. It was hit by destocking, and the same goes for Wheel Systems. If I just start with Rubena Savatech, it's only been three quarters where we have margins. They are quite all over the place. What is really a normal margin for that business, if we start with that one?
I think if you average out these three quarters, you and then add 1 or 2 percentage points, then you are on the average, I guess.
And that's what we should expect entering 2017, then.
Yeah, I mean, I the focus here is integration, and it will be. I don't know how long we will continue to report this, but it's going to be only a few quarters left. So, of course, I mean, step by step, it's going to disappear, and they're going to get into Coated Systems and Industrial Solutions. But I mean, as a guidance for Q1, then probably you can look at average for these three quarters we've been having.
And what do you? And then if you do the same question on wheels.
Wheels is a little more complicated because then not getting into, but Mitas, which is the brand within CGS, has a more seasonality than we have in kind of the remainder of Trelleborg. And for that, I mean, there is substantial higher sales for the Mitas due to the way they sell. They sell more on distribution and sell on bigger lots to the OEs, so they have a much higher seasonality. So for them, there is, a boost in the margin for the first quarter. So the first half of the year is stronger than the second part of the year. I don't really want to give any more guidance than that, Daniel, because I mean but it's going to be better, for substantially better, of course, here in Q1 compared to what you've seen in Q4.
And then sort of sealing solutions and your launch of Seal Shop, is that in any way sort of eating into margins at the end of last year?
Not to any kind of meaningful way. Of course, it's costing money. We are not making money for that efforts in Q4, but I mean, we're not talking about any kind of major money on totality. On sealing solutions, it's more that acquisitions coming in is coming in with a slightly lower margin. And that is, of course, from a mix perspective, creating a downward push on the margin in TSS.
All right. Thank you so much.
Our next question comes from the line of Matt Schultz from Commerzbank. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. Good morning, also from my side. It's Matt Schultz from Commerzbank. I have only one question left, and it's regarding industrial infrastructure or infrastructure in general. do you see some upturn in infrastructure construction again, or is it similar to oil and gas? We will see a further decline there as well.
That's a tricky question. I mean, we see there is more projects coming up, that there is a general push. I mean, we have the North America situation, as all is well aware about, commenting that it should invest in infrastructure, and we see some increased activity there. Europe is also some interesting projects, but I mean, we cannot really see that it's going to be an improvement at the moment. We have a positive view on it if you look on a little bit longer term perspective, but if you look in the next few quarters, we're probably still going to see some challenging environment in certain areas. I don't know, we cannot add anything more on that, I guess.
Do you have any more questions on the telephone?
Maybe as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, you will have to press 01 on your telephone keypad now. There are no further questions on the telephone line.
Then I guess we move back to a few of my questions.
Yes.
If we have time. Yeah.
Please, Douglas.
So in the Q4 report, we could see that you announced an investment in Serbia. Maybe you could talk a little bit more about what that means.
And I mean, this is part of the integration of CGS. I mean, Serbia is a very good manufacturing base, for both from logistic reasons and also for cost reasons, and also for reasons that from Serbia, of course, you have a great entrance into Ukraine and Russia as well. So we believe it's an excellent base to build on, and now as we looking for benefits, synergistic benefits from this, I mean, Serbia is going to be one of the key foundations to get the synergies we're aiming for. I mean, this is one of the biggest, it is probably the biggest individual synergistic action that we're initiating related to the acquisition of CDS. So that is why we have been pushing this, and this is the first one. Which is, of course, we have been implementing a lot of synergistic actions before, but this is the first one which is kind of getting close to a structural, to some structural changes within this, let's say, in this acquisition of CDS. So we will comment on this more as it develops. Just to give you guidance, I mean, we are talking about some. Hundreds of millions of Swedish kronor over 2 years or something like that. So there's not really any dramatic change. And it's, of course, within our overall guidance of CapEx as well. So it's nothing which is coming on top of what we have commented before.
Okay, fair enough. And coming back to your updated financial targets from your CMD on the profitability level, you raised that from, was it 13 to 15? Can you maybe highlight a few of the levers what will...
The main levers is, of course, synergies from the acquisitions that we've been doing. And then also in this, of course, also lies that we expect, especially the agricultural market, to somewhat bounce back. And we have the industrial equipment market also, which has been somewhat depressed. And we must not, sometimes we talk a lot about sealing solutions within Trelleborg, delivering good margins, and it has been delivering good margins. But sometimes it's forgotten that almost one third of that business is actually exposed to industrial equipment or heavy equipment, which has been exposed to fairly depressed markets the last few years. So of course, if this start to get back, I mean, I shouldn't say that this will increase the margin substantially within Sealing Solutions, but if we can grow Sealing Solutions also with similar margins as we have today, then of course that will create a positive mix overall in Trelleborg. We will push up the margin as an average for Trelleborg. So there are a few levers, but I mean synergies, and then a bounce back in a slight bounce back in agricultural market as well as industrial equipment, heavy equipment. So that is really the main levers to get to this. And of course, also on top of that, continued investments in improved structure in Trelleborg. We continue to close factories. We continue to consolidate operations. And that is will continue to happen. It will continue to create benefits for us also in terms of profitability.
And on Trelleborg's Sealing Solution, I guess you get a lot of questions on this, of course, but we saw that the margin now is around 20%. Is this some more of a normalized level we should expect going forward, I guess?
No, our guidance, I mean, we always had a soft Q4 in Sealing Solutions. And I mean, I think we had a very tough comparison. Let's say Q4 last year was by far the best ever Q4 for Sealing Solutions. I think this is more a normal level for Q4 in Sealing Solutions, which then gonna be supported by stronger quarters for the other three quarters in the year.
Okay.
Good. Excellent.
Yeah, I think that's.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay. Thanks a lot. And I mean, any further questions, of course, I'm available, Ulf is available, and also the not least is of course Christopher available here for any kind of follow-up questions that you might have. So thanks again, and talk to you soon.